Welcome to Talk 1260 KTRC. You're listening to The Humanity Behind the Vanity, a show about plastic surgery. I'm Dr. Daniel Rennell. This is my wife, Betsy Rennell.
Hello.
And we're going to continue our discussion from last week. We also have Scott Thomas this week.
But we got cut off because we talked too much, so we're going to continue our little talk that we had last year about secrets to looking 10 years younger.
Last week, not last year.
Last week, sorry.
I just don't think we got into it.
It wasn't last year, was it?
Yeah, actually, no, it was the first. That's right. It was the first of the year.
All right.
So, we just didn't get into it deeply enough.
Well, so what I want to go, I'm going to outline it for you and then you can delve in.
Okay.
So an age eraser, one of them is use fat to get fuller cheeks.
You're looking at the new beauty magazine, by the way.
I'm looking down. Sorry. I know this is not bad. This is not good media, but I'm looking down at Madge.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things we discussed was wider eyes, which you discussed, the blepharoplasty.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you can do for wider eyes? Botox?
Botox can sometimes help change the shape of the eye, but it really depends on what the person's eye looks like. The eye itself is surrounded by a circular muscle. And in some people, that muscle really does constrict too much, and it can close the corner of the eye down, and that can be helped with Botox. But in most people, no.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, you really need surgery to change the shape of the eye.
Now, to get wide eyes, do you need an upper eyelid
depends.
Both, lower and upper?
That's a good question. It really depends on where the excess skin is.
Came up with that on the spot.
Okay, and some people, actually, you don't even need an eyelid tuck at all. You need a brow lift to open
that. That goes into the next segment here, a smooth forehead.
Yes, okay.
Segue.
So one of the other very strongly rejuvenating techniques in this new beauty, secrets to looking
and
10 years younger.
They don't pay us for this. We just happen to both like it very much.
is to rejuvenate the brow. And the aesthetic position of a woman's brow, and for those of you watching on YouTube, I'm pointing, the lateral third of the brow should be above the rim of bone here, the orbital rim. In a man, it should be at the level of the bone. And so to lift the brow up laterally, you can do a little brow lift, which is with a small incision behind the hairline.
Almost at an angle directly above that section of the brow. Right.
We used to do brow lifts by doing a big incision all the way across the brow like a crown. But that's been found not to be necessary. And the endoscopic brow lift, which is when a brow lift is done with a little camera, is a similar technique that actually has a third extra incision. And I'm not a huge fan of that, and we can get into that some other time. But this brow lift procedure, which elevates the lateral third of the brow, is very rejuvenating. It's very quick and easy to do. In fact, I do it in the office.
Hmm. That's easy to do because you just numb somebody up like that, like you do from my injections.
Yes.
I have yet to have a brow lift, but you know I'll get one.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other topic we discussed was full cheeks, my favorite subject.
Mm-hmm.
And in here, actually, one of your professors, now one of your colleagues, Dr. Lloyd Gale out of New York City's Columbia University program, where you were trained, talks about fat grafting or fat transfer. And let's read what he says. Fat transfer can really help enhance the cheek area and give the appearance of higher cheekbones. That's what I personally strive for all the time. Plus, some studies show that fat transfer can help improve the overall complexion because the fat is rich in stem cells. Discuss.
Stem cells are one of the hottest topics these days.
Even in this magazine.
In plastic surgery and in medicine in general. And they're sort of like the fountain of youth. I mean, they are the progenitor cells, the first cells from which all other cells come from.
Isn't that why we save the baby umbilical cord or whatever that deal we do is?
Right.
Okay, that's what we do personally. Okay.
Right. That's developed
in case they get injured, isn't it?
That was developed for the immune stem cell.
Okay.
But there are many types of stem cells. There's liver stem cells, there's skin stem cells.
Oh.
And what we don't really know a whole lot about the clinical applications of stem cells. There are reams and reams of data of the scientific study. You know, 20 years ago, I was studying this for my thesis in Princeton about stem cells for the immune system. So we've known about them for a long time.
Ahead of time.
The clinical application of it is just now starting to be found. And
the beauty application of it.
Right. Yeah. With Dr. Gale, who's one of my favorite people
He's
in the entire world.
Yes.
Says is that when you put skin stem cells into the face, they just generally improve the general health of that area of the face. And so the complexion, the luster of the skin, the fullness of the skin, how much fat is retained, all that is improved by putting stem cells into the skin. Now, the question is, does that last? Should you inject them? Do you put it in a cream? Nobody really knows that.
Right. Yet. For the fat transfer, right. Just to go back to that for 1 second, what about people with those severe acne scars? Mm-hmm. Would it help their skin?
It depends on whether the acne scar is a depression that needs to be cut out from the inside or whether it's just a divot that can be filled. A lot of times acne scars can't really be filled that well.
Oh, okay.
And the thing about fat transfer is that technology too is still somewhat being developed, because the average length of time that a fat cell will live once it's been transferred is really not that long. So
I had it done years ago, I think before it became popular. And I didn't realize what the plastic surgeon was doing. He was an excellent plastic surgeon. This was way before I even met Daniel.
Right.
And he took it out of my butt and put it in my lips with no numbing stuff, no nothing. I cannot tell you. He did one half.
Painful,
I really had to debate whether I wanted the other half done. Mm-hmm. Goodness. Anyway, but it went away very quickly in my face.
Right.
I also don't have I have a lot of fat on my butt, but I don't have a lot, unfortunately, on the rest of my body. And so is that why it went away? Because I'm not sort of a fatty person?
No, it went away because the technique still hasn't really been developed that makes it last a long time.
Okay.
There are some people like Sidney Coleman in New York and some people in Brazil who are masters at fast transfer.
Yeah, Brazilians sure
are. And they really know how to make it last. Not all Brazilians. In fact, a lot of the Brazilian butt lifts just don't last very long.
Oh, really?
And so there always is research being done on how to make these fat transfers last. And that has to do with the stem cells in the fat. We're talking about all the same thing.
So it's just a matter of personal choice, the doctors and the patients,
right.
What application you use.
It's not just fat. For example, when you do a facelift and you can cut out some of the connective tissue, the fascia of the skin, and you can put that, for example, into the nasolabial fold. And that's much more durable. Larry Reed taught me that, who's also one of the people in New Beauty.
Magazine.
He's one of the editors of New Beauty Magazine.
Awesome.
And that's a very interesting technique, too. So it's not just fat. It's the whole subject of stem cells is really now just starting to explode. Not because we know exactly how it works and how long it lasts, but because studies are now being undertaken to answer those questions.
Interesting.
We actually have to wrap this one up. So thank you for listening. I want to thank our sponsors. We're generously sponsored by Suniva, the makers of Artifil, and iFlow, the makers of the OncuPain pump. And Scott Thomas is coming up next, and then afterwards we're going to talk some more about these new things in plastic surgery. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC, the humanity behind the vanity. We'll be right back. Well, the time now to control this rage, he was skin and bones. He was miles and miles from home. Welcome back to Talk 1260 KTRC, and now for a spiritual tip from Scott Thomas.
Thanks, Daniel. With the holidays coming up, I just wanted to put out for everybody that one of the key focuses I know for this time of year is we always want to get together and share, but also there's this high point of the sharing, and it's usually some form of invocation or a statement of gratitude or some sort of short prayer, some way that you give thanks and you acknowledge, you know, this sort of sharing and wonderful time and that we're joined together. It's so important to make that statement that we're joined, we're together, we're one. It brings a lot of relief and good feelings. And it's a reminder of why we're here and what we're really doing, besides food, besides gifts, besides, you know, whatever else might be going on. It's a reminder that this is a special time and that we are not going to have this forever. It's a point in time. And so that makes it like a ritual. Uh-huh. And when you say these things, you know, when my family, we get together and we say these things and we're acknowledging the bounty or abundance and health and life and renewal, all those things, it's this ritual that's tying us to the past. It's tying us to past holidays, past invocations, and it sort of is very powerful because it brings everything together. And I think you're saying, you know, it grounds us. It centers and grounds us, which is really important for that holiday time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so when we get that, we're all sort of reminded. And no matter what's going on, if not, maybe everyone's not getting along perfectly, maybe something didn't go perfectly with some food. You know, there's always one thing that doesn't turn out perfectly. But an invocation or making that statement of gratitude, somehow it brings everything together. And all the things that seemed like they weren't perfect are suddenly perfect.
Right.
And that's the power of making a statement like that.
Yeah.
And usually we have, you pick one person. There's one person who's sort of at the head of the table, and they get to make that statement. And it's a ritual, it's an honor, it's an acknowledgement of their place in the family or the group.
Right.
And so when you get together this holiday season, remember that. Make that a key focal point. Invocation, prayer, statement of gratitude. Thanks.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. We'll be right back. Talk 1260 KTRC, the humanity behind the vanity. This is Dr. Daniel Ronell. I'm here with my wife, Betsy Ronell. We're talking about plastic surgery topics.
Yes. And we were just talking about, we had just left off with filling the cheeks.
Right.
And we were talking about fat transfer.
Mm-hmm.
But there, as if any of you have listened before, there are many other ways to fill the cheeks. What are they, Dr. Ronell?
One of the earliest things to do is to put in a cheek implant. And they've developed great silicone implants now.
But that's an invasive surgery.
It is kind of invasive, right? There are masters who do, you know, 10 a day, and they can pop them in and adjust them very quickly in the office. But most plastic surgeons would make it a bigger deal than just, for example, the alternative, which is to do a non-invasive technique with a filler, such as fat. We've been talking about fat transfer. Artifil, for example, is a great filler, and I'm doing a national study on that. I just read an article about using Restylane or Juvederm to do a cheek enhancement. And this technique uses a very large volume, about 4 or 5 cc's on each cheek.
How much is that for people looking? If you could measure it, what is
which
it?
Which is about 4 or 5 syringes worth. And most people are used to getting
like
1 or 2 syringes worth of the stuff. And now this report I'm reading about,
I need it.
Right, is talking about using a very, very large volume. And
I'm not sure
that's the right way to go.
That's the way to go, ladies. That's what I do. Shoot, you should see how much he pumps my face up with. But it doesn't even hold because I have such a flat face.
I think you eat it up also.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Okay, so those are the two basic other ways. One's an implant and one's a filler. Radius is a great filler too. It's just like Artifil. It's a little less expensive and it doesn't last as long. But it's dissolvable completely. Artifil leaves behind these tiny microscopic beads smaller than a cell. Radius, you know, completely goes away. And so many people prefer that.
And also the good thing about Radius as well is that if you don't like it and you need a correction, there's some stuff you inject.
Nope, that's the other one. Juvederm.
Juvederm,
not Radius.
Sorry.
There's no antidote to Radius.
I'm sorry.
But there isn't. It's okay. There is an antidote
to Juvederm
or Restylane. Sorry. It's called Vitrace.
Okay, like if you think your lips or your nasals or your cheeks are too much, then a doctor can inject quickly, though, right after the application, right? Within a day or so or what?
No.
What's the time frame?
Yeah.
But not a year later.
No, most of the stuff is gone at a year anyway.
Okay. So let's just recap. Fillers for the cheeks, things to lift the cheeks. And lifting the cheeks is a way to look 10 years younger.
Absolutely.
What are you sticking in there?
We've got implants. We have filler like Artifil, Radius, maybe Juvederm.
Restylane.
Uh-huh.
And fat transfer.
Yes.
The good old fat transfer, which is still being worked on. But I tell you, if Dr. Lloyd Gale is rocking the fat transfer, it's probably pretty good because he don't do nothing wrong, that guy.
That's right.
Anyway, all right. And here's something back to the stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something where they talk about using a stem cell in a facelift. Once again, discuss.
It's the same concept as doing it for cheeks. It will improve the overall complexion of your face, and it will improve the overall health of the skin of your face if you put in these stem cells. So what great opportunity when you're rejuvenating it already by doing a facelift, throw in some stem cells.
Where would
going
you throw
to,
it in?
Unclear. Needs to be studied.
In the incision?
Yeah. No, it's in the depths of the wound. It's under the skin. It's put in at a layer below the dermis, the bottom layer of the skin.
They should make a spray and as you're lifting up the skin.
You know, that's kind of like the spray I use, the platelet gel spray.
That's where I got the thought from.
Now, one of the reasons I might be having good results, I just thought about this, is maybe the platelet gel that I'm using has stem cells in it, too.
I bet it does.
I don't know. I got to check that out.
You have outstanding results with this platelet gel that you
use. Yeah, it's a nice spray. You withdraw blood from the patient, you spin it down in a centrifuge, and you extract all the wound healing molecules, which are concentrated in the platelets.
Very sophisticated technique.
That's
a lot of doctors in New Mexico do not do this. He does. Anyway, so here's something else. I gave you this book, and it wasn't intentional for you.
Yes, it was.
No, it actually wasn't.
It's about belly fat.
It's about belly fat, and that's where this small little man carries all his fat. Otherwise, he's not fat, but he's got a little tummy like his father.
Right.
Anyway, but I didn't give it to you because of that at all. I gave it to you because I watched it on The View, and it actually seemed really interesting. He, of course, nabbed the book, and I have yet to touch it.
Okay.
But I also gave you a book. Well, I didn't give it to you yet. My mother took that one. We discussed, I think, with Mark Wood about hormones and fat and weight gain.
Right.
So I have yet to touch either of these books. I don't go on diets myself because they just don't work for me at all. I just read to learn and apply what does work.
This book's interesting. I haven't finished reading it, but it's about something that's very common in the modern diet, which is all about insulin regulation. And I'm sure the hormone book mentions this. This belly fat book mentions it. And what's really interesting that we've discovered is regulation of insulin is really the key to success in dieting. Now, all these different diets do that in different ways.
How does that work with diabetics?
It may need to be modified for diabetics.
Okay.
Diabetics lose weight when they don't take their insulin. A lot of the teenagers that...
Yes, right. There's this fad where they're taking insulin or whatever. What are they doing?
Right. They don't take their insulin.
Skinny.
So they lose weight and they get skinny. And that was a big problem when I was a pediatrician trying to convince my teenage patients to take their insulin because they look great. Right.
I know. Who can blame them?
I know, but they ended up hurting themselves. Anyway.
That's right. That's very dangerous, people.
So all these different...
You take that insulin, please.
Okay, thank you.
Rather have you plump than dead.
Okay. Right. All these... your kidneys will go to waste.
Seriously,
So these modern diets, each of them regulate the insulin level differently. And there are foods that have a high glycemic index, which means they raise the sugar level very quickly.
Do they list that on all foods now or not?
I don't think so.
They do list it on some foods. That should be another thing. You know, they're putting on this thing
That's
was made in wheat, a factory that produces nuts and whatever.
Right.
They should put the glycemic index on all foods because people have no clue.
The problem about that is we don't really know what to do with that number. What does the glycemic index...
Define it then. People think they're eating well, including me, and then we have no clue why we're gaining weight because we don't understand everything.
So once we learn how to regulate our insulin, which is done by a combination of protein, fat, and carbohydrates, you got to find the right combination for yourself. Then you'll be able to eat and lose weight.
Well, that's
what I'm reading about.
Right. Okay. And here's relating to that is this areas in the new beauty again, areas most affected by fat, belly fat. And what is it caused by? Empty calories and fat. And it says fat in the stomach is a result of empty calories and fat from food, especially sugar and refined carbohydrates.
Right.
So there's our issue, ladies. Predominantly ladies, of course, men too, have with the belly fat. Also, I just want to quickly go over this because here's something that make a lot of women feel better, I know. Back fat caused by genes, okay, our genes that we inherit, and poor fitting clothes. Now, that is something we can all tend to. I saw a show on Oprah once about your bra. You've got to get your bra fitting just right around your back and then tend to the cup size. Because if the back is too small, you've got rolls and rolls of skin and fat hanging over there that otherwise could be hidden.
Right, right, right.
And butt fat caused by genes and poor body shape. And thigh fat, gender, and the aging process.
Okay, so we've got to wrap things up.
All right,
again.
We'll wrap it up. This is fun to talk about.
Yeah,
I think
next time we'll talk about maybe liposuction, all the different
trials. Yeah, there's a whole world on that.
Well, thank you for listening to our show, TalkRail 60 KTRC, the humanity behind the vanity. Thanks to our sponsors, Suniva Medical and iFlow. And we will be back next week.
Happy New Year!
Absolutely.
Lay it down, Josie Joe, lay it down.